Hey everyone, you're listening to the LFC Podcasting Couch, and this episode's brought to you by Pharmacy Mart, Fairfield, New South Wales. Now, if you mention this podcast to the team, you'll receive 20% off their entire vitamin and sports supplement range. That's Pharmacy Mart opposite the Fairfield train station. And if you want any more location details, head to pharmacymart.com.au. Now, let's get on with the show.
Lovely cushion header.
Hey Internet, it is episode 99 of the LFC Podcasting Couch. We're so close to the big 100. I have no idea what I'm going to do yet for the big 100, but it is hopefully going to be something special. But until then, we have normal football stuff to talk about, being what is happening in preseason. We have transfers galore all over the place. Not so many for Liverpool, but we'll talk about that in a second. So I thought I'm going to dedicate this one. It's going to be me by myself. Sorry if you enjoy other people's voices apart from my own, but I thought I'd take this one myself because it's going to be quite, I guess, analytical. We're going into every single of the top six clubs' transfers in and out so far this transfer window. Maybe not so many of the out because there's loads of loans and people that nobody's heard of before, but I'm going to go through each one from, let's say, top down, as in from Chelsea down. And at the end of that, after going through each one, I might give a bit of an analysis or a prediction of what the top six is going to look like come the end. Or I might even pick out one that could be a dark horse throughout the season as well. So let us see what it's going to be like. So starting off with, pardon my throat, I'm still a little bit sick. Let us go to Chelsea. And Chelsea are sadly the champions last year, but not for long. The domination will end. So let's quickly take a look-see at who they've transferred out so far this transfer. So let us start with the outs. That would be Christian Atsu, who's gone from Chelsea to Newcastle United. Cuadrado went to Juventus for 20 million. Solanke came to Liverpool for undisclosed. Begovic went to Bournemouth. Bertrand Traore, Lyon. Nathan Aki went to Bournemouth as well. Willy Caballero free came to Chelsea. Oh yeah, Willy Caballero came to Chelsea? I didn't even know that one. So yeah, let's go for the ones that came in. Those are the ones that first happened. Let's go on the ones that came in. So firstly, Willy Caballero. I didn't think he was too bad for Man City, but obviously they now are struggling with the goalkeeper thing, so they've gone. John Terry left, went to Aston Villa. Let's see who else came in. There's a whole bunch of people going on loan, as per usual, the Chelsea style, send an entire team out on loan. They've done that. They brought in Rudiger, Antonio Rudiger, from AS Roma to Chelsea, one of Klopp's rejects, as we know, of course. So he was in the Dortmund junior squad, reserve academy squad, and didn't feel like he would get a game at Dortmund because Klopp, I guess, didn't rate him or whatever, and went off from that point on, found himself getting a big money move to Chelsea, so good on him. Let's hope he's not that good. Loftus-Cheek went off. Schalaber went off to Watford on a transfer. Who came in? So Morata came in, Real Madrid, from Real Madrid, came in as a striker. I'm going to say it now, probably get a lot of hate, I already have every time I tweet it out, but I don't think he's very good under pressure. I've seen a lot of his games, and in those games, and people throw stats at me all the time. I'm like, that's great. Throw all the stats that you want. But every time I personally have watched him play and given maybe 90-minute games, maybe 10 games, so it's not a huge amount, but every single one of those games, he just was not good under pressure, and he missed a lot of 1v1s. So hopefully that continues. So I'm not rating Morata to do very well this season. He's not the big money striker signing, personally. Maybe he is, but I'm calling at least not. So that's all the ones they brought in. Really, if we want to put it down, it's Rudiger and Morata who have come in so far. So that is Chelsea so far. Let's go to Man City. Okay, so let's go from the most recent one, Benjamin Mendy. These guys have obviously been the most active with the big money signings. It's ludicrous. There you go. So Mendy came in, left back from Monaco, big money, 50 mil, whatever. Danilo came in from Real Madrid, Kolarov left to go to Roma for $5 million with a great intro. If anyone's seen AS Roma's unveiling of Kolarov, it's hilarious. Go watch it. Joe Hart went on loan to West Ham. Nolito went to Sevilla for a transfer, so he's gone. They brought in Douglas from CR Vasco da Gama for an undisclosed fee. Kyle Walker came from Tottenham. Let's see who else they brought in. They got rid of a few juniors, it seems. Yeah, loads of them. I won't bother. You probably don't know who they are. Ruben Sobrino, Joe Coveney again somehow. Olivia Nicham. These people have all left. I don't know who they are. Zabaleta left to West Ham on a free. They brought in Bernardo Silva, we all know, because that was very quick. They got that one done. That was from Monaco as well. They brought in Ederson from Benfica, the goalkeeper. They sold off Aussie Aaron Moy for £8 million to Huddersfield. He's going to have a great year. I can't wait to see him in the Premier League. Deserves it. Has had a crazy career. If you haven't seen Aaron Moy's career, basically started going off to Europe, didn't do so well, came back to Australia, ended up playing, I think they're called Melbourne City. I should be knowing this better because I'm Australian. But I think in his year before he went to Europe again, he had like 22 or 25 assists, something crazy like that, and 15 goals. And so, yeah, it's the A-League, but he was clearly too good for the A-League. Went off because it's part of the City Consortium, whatever they call themselves. And went up to Huddersfield and had a great year. So good on him. He's not spring chicken. He's like 27 now. But I can't wait to see how he does. So should be good. Anyway, that's Man City. Let's go off to Tottenham. Have they bought anybody? Let's go take a look. Out, 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 out. Yeah, nobody. So I guess he's pretty confident in the squad. So we'll just see what he does. But doesn't look like Tottenham are doing any business. If anyone knows what business they may do this year, it'd be great. Send me a link. But imagine if Liverpool were Tottenham coming second and the guy's just like, nah, we're good, it's fine, don't worry about it. Liverpool fans would lose their shit completely. So I guess they have a plan. He's doing good jobs, but you can't just keep putting the pressure on, as people say. You've got to try and win the thing eventually. Let's go down to Arsenal. Boom. Arsenal. So they just sold Chesney from Arsenal to Juventus. Why the hell Juventus would work Chesney? Well, sit on the bench. Who cares? Whatever. A lot of people going out of Arsenal. Lacazette's the big name signing from Lyon. Great, great signing. We'll see how he does this year. I guess the Arsenal's style of play is probably one of the more difficult ones to acclimatize to, because they do try the tiki-taka, go in and out and do fine goals, and trying to be a striker, learning all of that quickly, I assume, would be more difficult than, you know, Liverpool basically just run, get in the right spot, tap it away. That's what it could be. But we'll see how he does. I think he's a very, very talented striker, so could do madness. We never know. We'll find out this year. And they also got in Kolasinac, who is the, I think, left back from Schalke. And that's it. Two, really. So, Arsenal Fan TV will be fun this year if they don't bring anyone else. And I think they're still linked with Mbappe. If that's really going to happen, who knows? Anyway, let's go off to United. You see what, like, Mourinho whinging about the prices and the market and everything? Man, you're the one who created the market. Shut the hell up. Sorry to have a whinge, but my God, it's like me going off and going and deciding, going into every shop and saying, that Mars bar, I want to buy that Mars bar for £20. They're like, but we sell it for £1.50, whatever. Because no, I'm giving you £20 for it. And then everyone catches on that there's people buying the Mars bar for £20, and so they've raised their price up to £20, and then you whinge about the price of Mars bars. That's Mourinho. The bloody Mars bar buyer. Anyway, that's my whinge. So, we'll see. Janna's eyes finally gone off to Real Sociedad on a proper full transfer. What a strange career he's had so far, going from the next Ronaldo to Real Sociedad. We'll see what happens with him. Anyway, they've obviously brought in Lukaku, their, what, fourth choice option for striker. I'm so glad Liverpool aren't doing that. Going, oh, we don't didn't get Virgil van Dijk. Okay, let's go for De Vries, however you call him. No, can't get him. Okay, let's go for whoever else. No, can't get him. Okay, let's pick the fourth place one. He ends up being worse than our current players. Hell no. I'm happy with just sticking it out, putting the pressure on Tottenham style, but putting the pressure on the transfer teams of other clubs and hopefully coming out smelling of roses. We'll see what happens. If it doesn't, my God, it's going to blow up in our face and people are going to lose their crap. Anyway, so they got Lukaku, fourth choice. Well done. They sold off Rooney to Everton as part of that deal. They brought in Lindelof, the man who seems like he likes to hack people in the box. Should be fun. But they brought him in from Benfica. He was a big money signing. Schweinsteiger finally left for Chicago Fire. That was back in March, sorry. So really, they've brought in Lindelof and Lukaku. Pretty much nothing. There you go. I thought they brought in a lot more. Maybe it's just my head. Okay, so last but not least, let's talk about us. Who have we brought in? Okay, so Pedro Chiarovella has gone off to Willem Twee. Andy Robertson brought in from Hull. Oh, Andy Robertson. Oh, Andy Robertson. Anyway, that's my song. So yeah, hopefully he's going to do madness for us this year. I really do rate him very, very highly. So he is not a backup to Milner. I think he is first choice. And Milner is Mr. Versatility, who will be that leadership voice in all those games where we need it to come on and do something. Kevin Stewart went off to Hull City as part of that move. Ryan Fulton left to Hamilton Academical. Lucas, sadly, shed a tear, left off to Lazio. Andre Wisdom finally left us for Derby, on the books forever and ever. We brought in Dominic Solanke, of course, and Mo Salah at the start of the window. So, Mo Salah and Andy Robertson and Solanke are the three, inverted commas, big names that we brought in. Waiting on the big boys to come in, and I'm very, very glad that so far we're keeping it very tight. We're not building a whole new team. We don't need a whole new team. We need better options, better training, and we need a squad that knows how to play with each other, because that's going to be the problem for Man City. I'll get into prediction time now, and that I've gone through the teams. I heard on the Anfield rep when they talked to an Australian scientist of some sort, person looking at analytics around sport, and they talked very much about chemistry, and they talked about how comfortable teams have to be, and that when you make big changes in a team, they are naturally going to drop. I think the only change to that rule was in Chelsea back in 2003-04, when they just kept winning when they changed a whole new team. That was just unheard of. I don't think that can be repeated this time around, where the competition's a hell of a lot stronger. So I don't think Man City's going to do as well as people say. They spent big money, but I think they're going to struggle to get into the top four. That's just my feeling. Spurs aren't spending much, keeping their team tight. Chelsea aren't spending much. If Costa leaves Chelsea, I think they're going to be in a lot of trouble. The amount of points he single-handedly picked up for Chelsea would be ditch, and I don't think Morata is that fix. So if they get someone else in, as well as Morata, like a Bamiyang or whoever, proper goal scorer, then yeah, they may do something. But even then, they have to adjust to the English game, etc., etc., so we'll see what happens. I think Chelsea's not going to win as comfortably as they had. They had a very tight squad last year. New manager who struggled early on, found the right formation, and then went with that. But I think the second year, especially if they lose Costa, I don't think they're going to do as well. So we'll see what happens with that. We have Tottenham, who stuck together. I think they're going to be very strong this year. They've lost Kyle Walker, who, was second best to Trippier, seemed like it. So if that's all they do, and maybe they bring in one player, because that Victor Jensen, whatever his name was, didn't do very well first year, but he might do well second year, so he's the backup to Harry Kane. But I don't think they have enough depth in their squad. I think they've got a very, very, probably one of the strongest first, well, obviously they got one of the strongest first 11s, but that first 11 can beat absolutely any team in England when they're firing, like any Premier League team. But I think they have the ability, if they get a few injuries, which I don't think they had many last year, they're going to really struggle. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I think they're still going to be in the twos or threes of the next season. I still don't think they're strong enough to win it because they don't have enough depth, but they certainly are going to put the pressure on one more time. We'll go off to Arsenal. I think it's going to take one run of bad games, like two losses in a row, and their heads are just going to explode. I think Wenger, it's just one of those things where you got to know when to stop. And you never know, they could come back and have a big storming year, but I just don't see it. They're so fragile mentally, and the fans just get on their back immediately. And it's just something that really bothered me when we went through that barren run of January, February. If you saw Melissa Reddy's article, A Klopp, where she talked about we don't actively sit there, and Klopp says all they should really care about their opinions are my opinion of them, as in Klopp's opinion of the players. But they still read everyone's comments. They still see Firmino doesn't score enough goals, or we don't have a plan B or anything like that. They still read it. And then when you have a few bad games, then they start to believe it. And Klopp can't tell them, can't get it through their head fully to say, don't worry about the outside world, just believe in what I say. Because sometimes it just doesn't work that way. So the Arsenal fans, when they get on their back, man, it must feel horrible being an Arsenal player, having those rabid fans screaming at you. And when it's so public as well, and Arsenal fan TV and the players are just slagging off and they're getting hundreds of thousands of hits and views and shares, God, that must be a very toxic environment to be in. So until that changes, I don't think they're going to get top four. I think they're going to drop out again, maybe even go down to six. So we'll see what happens to them. Man United, we're already reading Mourinho's excuses. It's sad that he's just trying the mind games, but now everyone's just... Back in the day when he was successful all the time, he would get away with the mind games, but now it just seems a bit odd and sad. He's just like a grumpy old man, and it's almost embarrassing to hear him talk. So I don't think that they're going to do very well at all this year, and that's just not me being, you know, a Liverpool fan seeing Man United. It's more the fact that Mourinho just has a way of alienating his squad. Whenever that bad run comes, he will point the finger directly at people and say, you're not good enough to play for me. You're not, and thinking that's the motivator. It's just, again, the toxic environment can really destroy teams. And maybe they got through it this year just, but sitting in sixth the whole year long, now they're in the Champions League. Maybe they'll win Europa again. Who knows? I don't think they're going to go far on Champions League. I don't think their preseason's been the greatest so far. They're playing big teams, but those teams aren't playing their best squads. They're playing their junior squads. So you're playing your strongest squad against a junior squad, and then I don't know what benefit that is to the overall team. Who knows? We'll see. Anyway, for them, I think they're going to stay down sixth, maybe even drop down to seventh. It'll be hilarious, but we'll see what happens there. Who have I left out? Manchester City, I think I already said. I think they're going to maybe... They're very, very strong players, but it's so unpredictable what's going to happen with them because they are so many new players. And I think we all know the French league. You know, Joe Cole was a superstar in the French league. Balotelli can score for fun in the French league. As much as I wanted, I didn't really want Mendy that much because I hadn't seen him play all that much. I had never even heard of Bernardo Silva because I didn't really watch Monaco at all. I just saw the Champions League games, but I didn't really focus on those individual players too much. But I just, there's going to be a shock, a sticker shock when you head off to Bournemouth and you head off to Huddersfield to play these teams. And they're just in your face, you know, going in studs up straight into your leg to get the ball off you and to potentially, you know, just physically rough you out of the game. And that can really take its toll on people. So we'll see. You can't just be ultra attacking the whole time in the Premier League and hope to win games. It just doesn't work. So as Liverpool worked out. And then on to us. It's funny, people are talking a lot about Keita and VVD and them being the difference for us winning Premier League. Keita, I don't think is. I think we have enough cover. I think we have such a solid midfield and such a strong midfield and a midfield that has now played together for a full year if we don't lose anybody. that they will understand each other's styles and understand what they can do together and the combinations. Virgil van Dijk will be a difference, though. And there's people already on the Lovren agenda, and he's not that bad a defender. I'm sorry, guys out there. He isn't, I don't think, the defender that will win us a Premier League. I'll make that very clear. I don't think he's as bad as what people point him out. He's definitely got flaws. He's definitely, and I've said this before, when he pretends to be a leader, when he pretends or he wants to show everyone that he's a leader, that's when he does his worst defending. And so I wish he was just turn it down a touch and just think a little bit better. Where do I need to be? What do I need to do? How do I need to, instead of rushing into a tackle, how do I just jockey or hold him back so I can make a good decision at the right time? If he does that, fantastic. But, you know, if we get Virgil in there, suddenly we have a proper left-back who's left-footed, being Robertson. We have Virgil van Dijk, who is a very seasoned centre-back. We have Matip, who's clearly amazing, who's doing a lot of the clean-up work and always has a weird preseason, which is odd. He had a bad preseason last year, but I think he was injured. But then he comes into games, and he's just brilliant throughout. So hopefully he stays fit. I'm very worried that if we sell anyone else off, and, you know, Sarko doesn't seem to be going anywhere just yet. So if we get rid of him, who knows? Maybe he just stay. Maybe he gets a game. We will see. And then right back seems, you know, completely tied up now with Klein and Trent going head to head with each other properly. And this is very rare. You know, we had Glenn Johnson for years. Before that, we had Steve Finnan, arguably one of our best right backs in many, many years. Very understated right back. You know, for so long, we've had one option, and now we've got two very good options. Klein, I rate very highly. Yes, his final ball needs work, but if that's all that needs work, I'm extremely happy. He's quick, he can defend extremely well. He's got loads of experience behind him. And then Trent, who is up and coming, who, as Klopp said, he attacks like a man, but he defends like a boy. As soon as I can turn him into a guy who defends like a man, then we will have a proper right back. But he's 18 years old and he attacks like a man. It is glorious. Some of those crosses and things that he can do and his dribbles and his runs, he's got it all. He's 18. Ridiculous. So we'll see what happens with him. That defensive line, shore that up, will be fine. So Virgil van Dijk, we need him to join. He seems like the most likely because he's dropping, you know, all kinds of hints, and he's being barred from training and playing with the team, which is, you know, you don't actively go out there and you want players to do that. But the more you think about it as a Liverpool fan, you're going, every other club does it. I'm sorry, but Real Madrid does it. Barcelona's trying to do it with Coutinho. All the Bayerns and those guys, see how many heads Bayern have turned? You know, they turn, it must have been terrible being Klopp and losing Lewandowski over there. And Mario Götze as well. And just going, how are they turning their heads so quickly? So Liverpool needs to be that club that turn heads. And as horrible as it is as human beings to see a player treating their current club like crap, we need it to happen. If we want to be the big boys, we got to act like the big boys. And if it means doing that kind of stuff, hell, that's it. But according to the journalists, they're saying that even though this is happening, Liverpool haven't actually changed their stance since they made the public apology. So I guess it does take a formal transfer request or something, or a come get me from Van Dijk for us to actually make a move. Now, the attacking stance, it looks beautiful. If you guys are watching the inside training in Germany right now, and you see some of the goals that Firmino scores, like because it's on the computer and it's slightly low res, I've been watching it, I see like a beautiful chip over the keeper or a finish or something like that. And I'm like, who was there to do that? And every time it was Firmino, I'm like, this guy, glorious. I put him straight back into my fantasy team. I took him out, but I see him. I'm like, you're just such a quality striker. And then to know we have Sturridge and Solanke and potentially Ings and poor little, I've forgotten his name already. Yeah, Ings. Sorry, Origi, I meant to say. all these people sitting there ready to take that central striking spot as well. And then to have Mo Salah and Mane running off you and Coutinho feeding you, it'll be like the easiest striking role in the world. All you have to do, especially if you're someone like big, like Solanke or Firmino, who are very good at playing like the target man style role, where a long ball can come up and Firmino is extremely good in the air and controlling the ball. So if the ball comes up, he can control it, lay it back to Coutinho or Henderson, who does a reverse ball over to Mo Salah or Mane, who are sprinting up the line or something like that. And then as a striker, when you've laid it back, you sprint back into the box, wait for the cross or something or the other, tap it in, score a goal, win a game, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. I'm pretty sure that's what Klopp's doing. So we'll see. We have such a raft of options. And I think that's why he loves Firmino so much, because Firmino will be that guy who's the best guy at getting the ball and recycling it, getting other people into play. Do that with the likes of Mane and Salah, with Henderson or Coutinho feeding them, Lallana running in behind, or Keita if he comes. There's so many options. It's ridiculous. So, striking, attacking, all the above. And some of the drills they're doing just look scary, how clinical they are. So main point is, if you get Van Dijk, we're in a very good show. Minelay, Karius, Ward, Grabara are goalkeepers. Again, it's annoying because anyone would just take Manuel Neuer, someone like that, over them. In saying that, I think people are whinging at Karius in the last game, and I'm like, I just don't understand. I looked at him, he looked shaky. He looked shaky because he got a freaking terrible back pass twice. He looked shaky because... was he shaky when Trent did the terrible back pass and went straight to the striker and Karius came running out and did a great 1v1 save? That wasn't shaky. That was bloody good reactions. That was great goalkeeping. It boggles my mind sometimes. It's like, what do you want him to actually do when he's been given a hospital pass back, which has gone to an attacker? Anyway, I think he'll be fine. I think he's, again, growing confidence, and I'm glad he's getting the stuff out of the way in preseason. I don't think he's playing badly, so I think he's in for a big shot to get number one spot. Unfortunately, he's injured now, so Minelay is definitely playing against Berlin, unless he gets injured. He's a weird sort, too. If you've seen the Instagram with Daniel Sturridge that he put up, he dives into this a very cold German lake and just swims around happily. Sturridge is just laughing his ass off at him. It's great. But yeah, on that point, it would be funny if Minelay does happen to get injured. It's not funny that he gets injured, but if he did get injured, then Grabara will be our starting keeper against Bayern Munich. That'll be his debut for Liverpool first team against Bayern Munich. Fantastic. And so when I posted that up on Twitter, some people, I think someone, I can't remember who it was, he came back and goes, yeah, he'll probably make 15 saves. He'll go in, last minute goal, win the game. Instant Liverpool legend. What a scene that will be. Anyway, I'm going to go on to the dark horse of the league. And I'm going to give that one to our friends at Bournemouth. So let's look at who Bournemouth have bought. So they bought Nathan Aké from Chelsea. Brilliant signing. He is such a good defender. He can score goals as well. And he's a really good ball-playing centre-back. So he fed in beautifully for Bournemouth when he was playing there on loan. And so they've bought him. Jermaine Defoe's come from Sunderland, personality of the year. Feel for that guy. Hopefully he plays, if this is one of his last seasons, I reckon he's going to play his heart out for young Bradley. See how he goes. They brought in Asmir Begovic from Chelsea as well. Begovic, remember how bloody good he was before he went to Chelsea? He's ridiculous. He had a horrible time at Chelsea. Couldn't stop anything, which is weird. But, you know, you need game time. So, yeah, so he's gone to Bournemouth as well. And then they've got, I don't know who Connor Mahoney is, but he's from Blackburn. Maybe he's good. Ryan Allsopp left, whoever he is. And Lewis Graben left to Sunderland as well. But just those three, Nathan Aké, Jermaine Defoe, and Asmir Begovic. That's a solid defence and a proven goal scorer for a team like Bournemouth. So I think they're going to really surprise a lot of teams this year. I think they're going to be in top 10, probably around 9 or 8. Which would be massive for a team like Bournemouth. So that's going to be my dark horse for the year. If you're a betting man, I guess go for that. Where's Liverpool going to finish this year? Because I didn't even mention it. Man, we're going to win the league. Simple. Do it. I think if we get Van Dijk, we'll win the league. That's going to be my tip of the year. So if he comes in, just start printing off those shirts, you know, the 17-18 champions. Just do it. Yeah. Write it down now. I know this is going to come back and burn me, but I don't care. It's my podcast. I can do whatever I like. On that note, I'm going to end it right there. Please send me what you think your predictions are for the year. Tell me who you think your dark horse is. And have a wonderful day or night. And let's look forward to episode 100. Goodbye.
Lovely cushion header. But Jerry!